We welcome you back into another edition of Chicago's Legal Latte. Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Mitchell. And today we're going to have the pleasure of meeting several new associates at Lavelle Law, people who have not been with us on the podcast before, and that brings some fresh perspective. So I'm pleased to welcome Associates Jody Upchurch and Mary Allison Mahacek, both of you first-timers. So thanks for making the time to join me today.
Thanks
Excited
for having
to be
us.
Here.
So our topic is also a new one. We're going to talk about fee shifting provisions. This kind of applies to things that might be entered into a contract to determine who might be paying some of the legal bills in certain cases. We'll get into the details, but let's start kind of with a high level description of what we mean when I use that term fee shifting provision.
Well, typically here, courts follow what's called the American rule. Which means both parties pay for their own attorney's fees. However, fee shifting provisions are included in statutes and in contracts. You can negotiate it, where that means that the losing party has to pay the other party's attorney's fees.
And are these fairly common in contracts, or is this more of a unique circumstance that these would be?
Yeah, I would say that they're pretty common and allowable, especially in a lot of business contracts. So, for example, if there's a dispute between shareholders or a breakdown between parties, I know I've seen them in an asset purchase agreement. But, you know, they can be excluded from a contract. So you could enter into a contract that doesn't have a fee shifting provision. Mm-hmm. But if a party brings suit under a statute that provides for fees, then they can be requested. But the big thing to remember is that if there's no provision in a contract and there's no provision in a statute that allows for you to have a fee shifting provision, then you can't expect fees to be paid for, especially in Illinois. And like Jody was saying, Illinois generally follows the American rule, which is that fees won't be paid for unless there is a statute or it's included in the contract.
And are they equally accepted in Illinois and in federal court, or would this just be a statute that applies in cases in Illinois?
No. So it depends on the statute. So in Illinois, there are over 80 statutes that provide for fee shifting provisions. In federal court, there's over 200. And their exceptions can be made. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time it's to promote public policy. So you'll see it a lot in civil rights, environmental protection, and consumer protection statutes. And that's just to incentivize individuals and also, you know, attract attorneys to cases where they necessarily wouldn't accept a certain case because the individual, you know, if you have an individual going up against a corporation, the individual may not have the type of money to support litigation, which is already expensive and can be a long, dragged out process. And I believe that it also incentivizes both sides to settle the case. That way, you know, you're not spending as much money as you would have. Say that you go all the way through trial.
And is that incentive, is that means of trying to get people to come together? Is that one of the main advantages then of fee shifting provisions?
Yeah, I would say yes. I don't know, Jody, if you wanted to jump in kind of, but with your thoughts.
I believe it is one of the main courts don't want to go. They don't want to go to trial. They would rather the parties, you know, come together and, you know, have reasonable expectations of an outcome because it's time consuming and it becomes very expensive. That's the reason I believe that they are inputted. But I agree.
Yeah. And I would say the same, too. I think that encouraging settlement is a big advantage, but also, you know, if a party breaches a contract or, you know, or goes against a statute, does something wrong under a statute, and you file litigation and you prevail, then you can get your fees paid for, which is great. And it, you know, like a good example of that is that in the Residential Real Property Act, that provides for attorney's fees for the prevailing party if it's found that the seller breached that act. So, you know, that is an advantage. But I think that the biggest advantage is that settlement is encouraged early on, because it can definitely be used as a bargaining piece. Well, hey, you know, if you keep going mm-hmm. with this, you're going to have to pay my fees. So let's figure this out now.
and help me understand, without getting too far off what maybe the main topic is here, but I heard you mention writing this into contract. So if you're getting into a business agreement, this is included in there. But I believe I also heard that it's, you know, it could be used in litigation, in which there's, I'm assuming, no agreement, but someone is bringing, you know, a suit against someone else. So are there cases in which it applies in both areas? So it's part of a contract, but if someone brings a lawsuit, it can then be a situation in which the other party is forced to pay, or is that a separate issue?
No, that's correct. That's why you put it in the contract in case you go to litigation.
Okay.
You're basically stating, you know, if we have to go to litigation, you know, and actually file suit against you, that you're going to also have to pay my attorney's fees,
okay,
including, you know, on top of the damages that you owe me. But you have to make sure that, you know, that it is pled in the complaint. You have to ask the court.
And are there certain then types of contracts or industries or use cases in which these are going to be more prevalent and more useful than others?
Yeah, like we were talking about, contracts between like businesses and shareholders, they're like shareholder agreements, they're relatively common. They're also common in civil rights issues, consumer protection, and environmental protection. And I would say that for us in our practice, we see them a lot in that, you know, consumer protection issues, like with consumer fraud and deceptive business practices act, because that act does provide for fee shifting. So yeah, a lot of business contracts as well as insurance policies.
Fee shifting provisions in contracts is our topic today on Chicago's Legal Latte. And we're being joined by Jody Upchurch and Mary Ellison Hotchek, who are both with Laval Law. They have been with the firm for some time, but this is their first time joining us, so it's a great pleasure to get to meet them and continue our conversations. We'll get some contact information to you before we let them go today, but let's continue on with the topic. And you've talked about advantages. You've talked about some use cases. It sounds like a very beneficial tool. Is there a risk? Is there a downside to including these in contracts?
Well, yes, you could lose.
Big risk.
And then you're on the hook for the other side's attorney's fees. And when you think about, you know, the process of litigation, how long it takes, paying your attorney, and then paying, you know, the other party's attorney, that can really add up.
And if it's going to be included, are there certain parameters and ways that it needs to be written and added to a contract to make it enforceable, as opposed to just, you know, having some random language? Does it need to be pretty particular as to how it's written in?
It has to be negotiated between both parties, and it has to be reasonable. Obviously, the clients have to agree to it, but you'll see certain contracts where it'll be a one-sided fee shifting provision. Whereas if you breach this agreement, then you have to pay my attorney's fees, but it won't have the language in as a prevailing party, which, you know, typically if both sides are on equal footing, mm-hmm. you want to say prevailing party instead of, you know, if you do something wrong, you pay my attorney's fees. If I do something wrong, then we go by the American.
Yeah, it's definitely got to go both ways.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what makes for a good contract, I would imagine, right? That's what you're always looking
True.
for, right?
Very true.
Now, what about, I was asking earlier about lawsuits. We sort of tied it into the contract, but is this something that can be used to prevent frivolous lawsuits, maybe where there isn't a contract, but someone, we read in the paper all the time about people who are constantly bringing suits against corporations for some reason or another. Can this be enforced in that regard without a contract, or is it simply not useful there?
Yeah, I think that they can be, a powerful tool that does encourage settlement and kind of does deter that frivolous litigation. So, for example, in a breach of contract case, a fee shifting provision, like we kind of talked about, can incentivize a defendant to settle rather than risking a large award of attorney's fees at trial. So, a lot of times you'll get hit with a lawsuit and you're like, I want to fight this. I don't want to keep, I didn't do anything wrong. I want to fight this. And, you start to get into, and this happens with clients all the time. I mean, at the beginning, people are very motivated. If regardless if you're the one, if you're the plaintiff or defendant, if you get sued, you're like, what is this? I didn't do anything wrong. I want to fight it. And then, as you kind of go down the line and you maybe get to, answering the complaint or filing affirmative defenses or trying to do a motion to dismiss and you don't prevail or something like that, then you get into the kind of the discovery phase and you're like, well, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. And I think that, the other side has enough information to prevail. We have good information as well, but it might just be better if, especially if I'm gonna have to pay their fees at the end. It's going to rack up and I'm paying my own fees a lot of times. So at that point, it's like, well, you got to weigh the pros and cons, and it's just not necessarily worth the fight.
And Jody, it seems like you have been through that. You've seen that plenty of times. Tell me a little bit about, from the Lavelle Law perspective, what role do you take, your business group, your litigation group? How do you help clients with this, either upfront or in the depth of the process?
And that actually all depends on the client's goals. Obviously, we would want a fee shifting provision in the contract. If we can get the opposing party to agree to a one-sided fee, provision, then the better it is. But it really does, and it can help you avoid litigation because, as Mary Ellison mentioned, people are very motivated at the beginning, but 6 to 9 months down the line, they're like, oh my God, these attorney bills are, my. And another thing I should mention is typically you still have to pay your attorney up front. So you don't, the other side has to, after they lose, then you get the money from.
Reimbursement,
It's not, reimbursement pretty
okay.
much. It's not like they're, paying at the same time. So when people are, spending thousands and thousands of dollars, and hopefully, we always try to, make the cost as least expensive as possible. But there are certain motions, continuances that are filed. So you really do try to think about that. And a fee shifting provision, it really makes people think like, oh man, like I just paid my attorney $3,000 last month. I might have to pay their attorney, $10,000, and I might have to pay damages of, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. So it really does help clarify things. I believe it's typically it's a good motivator. Go ahead. Go ahead,
Sorry.
Mary.
I just wanted to kind of add too that I think that there's a lot of like misconception around it. Because a lot of times we'll have clients call or, we'll get clients who are interested in either filing suit or they're like, we need you to defend this. And they're like, well, I want my fees paid for, which I totally get. Everyone wants their fees paid for. But what we say is that if it's not in the contract and there's not a statute, you're out of luck, unfortunately. So I think this is an important topic to discuss too, because I think there's a lot of misinformation and misunderstanding around it as well.
Yeah, I think it'd be great to
No,
have a.
and I agree, Mary Ellison. They typically call and say, well, this is this person's fault, therefore they should have to pay
To
you
pay.
as
Yeah.
well. And it's just like that. That's just not how it works.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, like if we don't mind.
Very informative conversation. And you mentioned there were, I think, over 80 statutes in Illinois. Maybe we could get together another time to talk about those, give some examples, and look at the federal ones as well. But we're going to let you go now. But I appreciate you being with us for the first time. I hope we're going to talk again soon. And Jody and Mary Ellison, I know people may want to talk to you before our next podcast. So can you each give me a quick point of reference where they can get a hold of your phone, email? What's the best way?
Jody, you want to go
Yes,
ahead?
sure. My email address is JUPCHURCH@lavellelaw.com. My direct line is 312-736-1266.
And my email is MMAHACEK@lavellelaw.com. My direct line is 847-908-3545.
And
Excellent.
you can the firm's actual line is 847-705-7555.
And I always recommend people visit lavellelaw.com for all of our podcasts, articles, and introductions to all of the attorneys there. So, Jody Marielson, thanks so much for being with me today. Great conversation. I hope we're going to do it again soon.
Yes.
Thank
Thank you,
you.
Jim.
All right. Thanks
See
now.
you later, Mary Ellison.